What's going on, everybody? Welcome back for another episode of Triggered. This is Triggered episode number 520 here on Wednesday, June 19th. It is Juneteenth.
Yep.
That's all I've heard all day. Just a normal day for normal people.
The post office is closed.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's fine. Obviously, we work today. No traffic.
Yeah.
But you know the funny thing? I noticed the commonality here. Someone tweeted about this.
Did they hike the tolls
for you? No, the tolls were cheap this morning.
Oh, nice. Nice.
The only real... If you look at who's closed today, the commonality is the banks and the government.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Most other companies that actually have to, like, produce a product and make profit and all those things like that...
Yeah.
They're open. You know, there's a few here and there that are not, but, like... Don't you know how I feel about this? And my blood pressure's already high enough today, so I don't want to go down the rabbit hole.
It's like fucking Kwanzaa. It's fake ass shit.
Yeah. It's just like another holiday. It's really Marxist, the leanings of it. It's just,
also I feel like the days change.
What do you mean?
I felt like it was like June like 13th last year.
No, it's usually the 19th. Yeah, it's always on the 19th. There's no observed of this day. You know how a lot of federal holidays they do observe.
Okay.
But next year's a Thursday. So if you just, you know, take off Thursday, Friday, get a nice 4-day weekend of it.
But those celebrations were colorful. You know, there was, you know, people got shot all over the place at the Juneteenth festivals.
Oh, shooting up the Juneteenth festivals.
They were shooting up, you know.
We'll leave it at that. But. Yeah, today there was a lot of videos out there of, like, black people on social media complaining that white people also get off for Juneteenth in the companies that are closed.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. And then I saw one of
they're never happy.
A black lady
Leftists
who was complaining about how she still has to go to work, and it's basically slavery. I'm like, oh. Were the slaves paid? That's a new development. All right,
that's
enough of that.
That's a new line. I'm going to just bitch next year. We should have off because
it's
slavery.
We're not getting off. We actually had to pay extra to open the office today because the
closed.
Building was closed.
Well, it's filled with feds.
Yeah,
so.
Well, yeah. All right, let's get into the big stories of the week. So the big narrative coming from the Democrats here is that Joe Biden is perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Don't believe your lying eyes. Again, in the same trend.
Yeah.
When on Monday, I think this was Monday, right? Yeah.
There's been a lot. I know where you're going with this.
Corrine Gray-Poupon had a White House press briefing where she was asked about the many videos of the president looking senile, not knowing where he is, staring off into the abyss, falling asleep, which is all factual. It's all on videotape, right? Well, she says... These are all fake.
Yeah.
And what the term they came up with is a play on deep fakes, right? Which is like AI-driven stuff. They're called cheap fakes.
Yeah.
And it's deceptively edited video to make the president look more senile than he actually is. Well, here's the thing. No one buys this, right? This is another total gaslighting lie. Just like the Hunter Biden laptop wasn't real and Russian hookers were pissing all over Trump and, you know, the list goes on and on, right? The collusion, it's all lies.
Yeah.
All they can do is just totally lie, right? Because if these moments were explainable, they would try to explain it away.
Yeah. Well,
but they can't.
Did you see CBS News, their Twitter account, it deleted their little segment about explaining what the cheap fake is and all that because everyone has the unedited video. The European press has the unedited video of the G7 summit where the Italian prime minister, what's her name, Giorgia?
Maloney. Who's been a disappointment, but yeah.
Yeah, well, she's dealing with some stuff. But she had to stop him from, like, you know,
wandering off. Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, that was selectively edited. No, it's not. Everybody saw it. Even the European press saw it. So it's like, what the hell are we doing
here?
Well,
the big one that spurred this was because at a political fundraiser this weekend,
Biden
essentially had to be led off stage by his visiting angel, Barack Obama. And that's what really spurred this, right? And then so she goes out there and stakes her claim, Gray-Poupon, about... these are all cheap fakes, deceptively edited videos. It's the right-wing media, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, of course, that makes me want to double down on it.
Yeah.
And then he gave us two perfect examples of this, unedited video on tape. One is verbal, and then one is just watching, right? Yeah, so we're well, let's get to the verbal one first. We're going to get our gaffe of the day a little bit early here.
That's with the DACA people in the background. Yep. Yeah.
Here's Joe Biden late afternoon, early evening, at a ceremony honoring the unconstitutional executive order of DACA.
Yeah.
Take a listen.
My name is Joe Biden. I'm Jill Biden's husband. Thanks to all the members of Congress and Homeland Security Secretary. I'm not sure you're going to understand all the way. But I'll kick aside.
Oh, but that's just a cheap fake.
I know. Somebody did zoom in on the two illegals behind him. And
their
like,
faces?
They're like, holy fuck, we're being deported. This guy doesn't.
Yeah. And then the better part is that that actually wasn't referring to this second clip here. They had a Oval Office moment on Monday afternoon after Karine Gray-Poupon had said that all this was fake. Take a listen to Joe Biden yelling incoherent gibberish at the press.
Are you worried about the war?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And then a new clip that was just surfaced this morning. Last night, Biden getting off the plane in Delaware, trying to get into his vehicle. You know, there's no audio. Look it up. He cannot even step up into the Chevy Suburban.
Yeah, he can't. He doesn't know where he is. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's bad. Also, getting back to the Obama visiting angel thing, there was a clip of him speaking during the event where he was talking about how he's the greatest job creator, but it's all mumbled garbage. And you just see Barack Obama's body language sitting next to him like, this guy just doesn't have it.
They're like, oh, fuck. Yeah.
Which, to Obama's credit, he has been warning. He warned us all in 2020. He told Joe, you don't have to do this. Don't underestimate his ability to fuck things up. Like, his people have been feeding the press, like, I've been telling this guy he shouldn't do it. It's just bad. I'm actually surprised that the White House website didn't edit that transcript.
Well, listen,
all the garbled bullshit is on the transcript for once.
He never wanted him to run in the first place. Yeah. You remember that? Yeah.
You don't have to do this, Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was bad.
And
here we are. I just don't understand why they're devoting this much time and energy to a point where 86% of Americans think that Joe Biden's too old.
Mm-hmm.
That's not an outlier. That's a consensus. That's Democrats, Independents, and Republicans saying this guy just doesn't have it, and they're just going to try to.
Well,
they're going to try to whittle that down to 76% by the time election day happens.
A new poll came out yesterday. You bring that up.
Yeah.
Pitting Joe Biden's senile, incoherent inability to do the job versus people's concern over Trump conviction. 2-1 in favor of people worried about Joe Biden's mental fitness.
Yeah, no, I know.
It's obvious at this point. Yeah. It's just totally obvious. All right, the other big story we got cooking right now within the last 48 hours, yesterday was Election Day here in Virginia, primary election. Generally statewide, a low turnout election. Hung Cao is now the GOP candidate for senator here in Virginia, and I think he's a strong candidate. He is a Navy veteran, an immigrant to this country who did it the right way. Trump endorsed, Youngkin endorsed, and I'll tell you what, if Trump has this state in play, like some polls suggest it is, within a few points in either direction, there is certainly a chance that he could win that Senate seat. Mm-hmm. And that would be huge if we could kick Tim Kaine out of the Senate. Now, where we stand right now, do I necessarily think it'll happen? Probably not, but I'm leaning more day by day to there's certainly a chance. But, you know, if Trump were to shock and win Virginia, he's certainly going to bring a Hung Cao to the Senate.
Yeah, I agree.
But the real big story coming out of Virginia yesterday was a congressional primary in Virginia 5 pitting Bob Good, the chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, against John McGuire is his name, a relatively unknown newcomer. And it basically pitted a strong conservative in Bob Good against Donald Trump's endorsement. And Trump endorsed McGuire mainly out of personal animus. Trump is still salty that Bob Good endorsed DeSantis in the primary. And Bob Good has attempted to make up for that, but he never really accepted the apologies. I mean, Bob Good even went to you know, the hush money trial outside of it and parroted Trump's thing.
He did.
You know, Bob Good made a few strategic errors in the fact that it took him a long time to come back around to Trump.
Yeah.
Right? In the fact that we realized DeSantis was toast pretty early on.
Yeah.
It took him a while to do that. A little too late. Too little too late. Here's the thing. You know, I'm not thrilled about this. Right now, the results are that Bob Good is down 314 votes out of, I think, 62,000 plus cast.
Yeah.
All right, so that's how elections can happen.
Yeah.
Right now it's 0.4, okay? Mandatory recount is 0.5 in Virginia. There's still some mail-in votes. There's still some provisionals. The canvas has to be completed. So there's going to be some fluctuation there, so I'm not really ready to declare him dead yet. Here's the thing. That really,
I mean, he could squeak by with 12 votes.
Certainly, you know, certainly could.
After it's all said and done,
certainly could. And a lot of the areas that still have some to report, some early votes apparently to count, 1,500 or so from what I've been reading, are strongholds.
Strong good. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Here's the thing: if McGuire wins, he won fair and square, right? This is a primary. This is what happens. Am I going to be happy that Bob Good is out of Congress? No, because I think he's by far a very strong America First conservative. But Trump chose someone different, and he, you know, McGuire was endorsed by a handful of people, and he very well might have unseated an incumbent, which I think this might be the first one that this happens to this cycle.
Yeah.
It's a primary. That's how it goes. But there's so many sour grapes out there about this. Like, how could Trump do this? This is unforgivable. And you know what? I get that. But like, it's what it is. Are you really surprised?
Yeah.
Like, Trump likes the other guy. Trump doesn't like Good. When have you ever known Trump to let go of a grudge? Right? And I actually respect that in him because I'm the same way. Once someone's on my bad side, and you know this, they don't get back ever.
No.
Okay? That's just how it goes. I'm not a fan of second chances.
Burns family, it's like Meet the Parents. Once you're outside the circle of trust, you're out. There's no getting
back. Yeah, and it's an Italian thing, you know. Yeah, once you betray my trust or something like that, you're done.
It's over.
And so am I happy that Good might be out of Congress? No, because I think that he's by far one of our best congressmen. But, like, this is a primary. This is what happens. The primary for president was nasty.
Yeah.
You know, you saw what happened. So
Did Good, like, did he put this thing on autopilot, though?
No, he fought pretty hard. He fought pretty hard.
Because, you know, Eric Cantor put it on autopilot and he got his ass kicked. Remember that?
I think what happened with Good was he was caught a little off guard in the fact that he didn't think it was going to be a problem. Then they hit the ground really hard.
Yeah.
But it was a little late. And again, like I said, he was late in coming around to Trump.
Yeah.
He probably could have headed this off by getting a little earlier at that and not getting Trump to it. At least maybe not get Trump's endorsement, but get him not to play in the race. And so for anyone that says Trump's endorsement doesn't hold power,
it holds.
These are primary voters, right? This was a low turnout election. The 62,000 votes in this congressional district were almost a quarter of the entirety of votes cast in the Commonwealth yesterday. Right? Yeah. Everywhere else was, you know, slim pickings because there wasn't much contested out there. So, you know, it is what it is. Like, everyone's just got to deal with it. The people that are out there like, I will never forgive Trump and I'm going to fight against him because of this.
Stop it.
Get over it. Like, come on.
Well,
keep your eyes on the prize.
Yeah, those are the usual suspects, though. They never liked Trump.
Sure,
and they're trying to, now they have an excuse not to get behind him.
Yeah.
Over
a
congressional race. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. It is what it is, man.
Yeah. Well, we got an email earlier today from our friend Brian about this. And, I mean, I agree with you, Brian. I agree with you. But, like, the thing is, eyes on the prize and we have to win in November. That's the only thing that matters. If we don't win in November,
pack it in.
There's no party or America to even defend anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty much the point of it. Look at what Joe Biden's done in 3.5 years, right? You really think that this country could withstand another 4 years of this?
Yeah.
Right? Generally? Like, and not only that, it won't be Biden. It will be Kamala, whoever she brings in to be VP, who will arguably be further nuttier and to the left than she is, and the cabal of leftists currently destroying the country somewhat uninhibited. Because if we lose
the Hamas flag, you know, the Palestinian flag would be flying above the White House.
Potentially. I mean, if we lose the presidential race, it's very probable that we'll lose the House, and there's definitely a chance that we would lose the Senate. I mean, the Senate's looking a little better out of everything. That's the math there is probably the best in our favor, right? I think our percentage is to take the Senate is somewhat like 65%. But we've heard that game in the past.
Yes, we have.
Remember the red wave?
Yep.
That never happened?
Never happened.
Red sprinkle?
Yeah. Although I'm pretty sure a lot of those voters are now having buyer's remorse and probably would have elected more Republicans. Sure. But that's then. It's over.
Hindsight's 2020.
Can't do it.
You know, all I have to say about this whole Bob Good thing is, sure, am I happy that he might be gone? We're not declaring him dead yet. No, I'm not. But am I going to lose sleep over it? Certainly not.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is. And also, like, the House Freedom Caucus, really, if Bob Good was never going to get along with Trump, which there's no signs that they were going to get along, and they haven't in the past, he recently tried to amend to save his own ass,
yeah.
Right? frankly, we need someone leading the House Freedom Caucus that is going to get along with Trump, because they're going to drive a lot of control in the Congress because of their amount of members.
Specifically, you know, getting those Trump tax cuts permanent.
Yeah.
If that happens. Yeah. That should be the number one of the top agenda items.
You know who was really behind the funding of McGuire? Kevin McCarthy. Because he hates Bob Good. Because Bob Good was one of the people that took him out of the speakership.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of factors at play here. It's not just Trump, like, you know, it's establishment versus outsider. And also this congressional.
And also just good old fashioned revenge.
Sure. And you know, just for context here, not everybody's very familiar with Virginia politics. This congressional seat, in the last 10 elections, the last 10 congressional elections, have had 7 different congressmen. So it's not exactly like he's super entrenched.
Yeah.
And also, this seat is safe far.
Yeah.
Whoever wins this primary is going to win the seat.
Yeah, it's going to win.
So, all right, let's move on here. Let's talk about the Middle East a little bit. So we got the war continuing to go on over there, and there's still operations in Rafah. There's no end in sight to that. Israel has now approved plans for a potential offensive against Hezbollah in Lebanon.
Oh, wow.
They have operational plans in place should they need to. Doesn't sound like they're going to open it up, but if they need to, they will. So,
well, they've been under heavy rocket barrage for months now.
And it's really picked up over the last week. A lot of drone attacks have been occurring in the north.
Yeah.
There's been fire warfare. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah.
Where they're using, like, catapults to shoot flaming shit over the wall.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
To start wildfires on both sides.
I mean, it's unsustainable. I mean, like, tens of thousands of Israelis have fled the north.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
there's
been a whole...
They basically forced them to leave.
Yeah, internally, like, a lot of southerners are moving north or towards Jerusalem-ish, and then a lot of northerners are moving south, and it's just like, it's they can't keep them there.
Yeah.
It's creating internal problems, so... They should go in there.
By the way, the pier, dead.
Oh, done. Gone?
Yep.
They're not going to rebuild it?
Remember last week they said, oh, we're just moving it for weather purposes?
Yeah.
Nah. No. They were moving it to dismantle it.
Yeah, again, don't believe your lying eyes.
$300 million set on fire there. That was good. You know, think of how many homes that could have built for homeless veterans here in the United States. But, of course, America last. That's the Joe Biden mantra.
Give the aid to terrorists.
What else we got going on globally? In North Korea, the DMZ.
Yeah.
The North Korean soldiers attempted to cross, air quote, and got blown up by a bunch of landmines. We still got the China-Taiwan situation. You know, it doesn't look like China's going to do it at this point, but I will say that all the intelligence that I've read is this is exactly how they would want us to feel.
Yeah.
And then they would surprise attack.
Yeah.
They want to lull you into a sense of it's not going to happen. You lose a little bit of preparedness, and then boom.
Yeah. Well, all Biden has to do is say don't, and then they will.
Yeah, don't.
Don't.
That's the best American foreign policy we've got at this point. Africa, by the way, is a total mess. We don't even have time to dive into it, but if anyone wants to research that, I mean, we gave up a base to the Russians. The Chinese are all over the place in there. There's civil war. There's genocide. But, you know, because it's Africa, it's a shithole, doesn't really dominate the news. But we're getting our asses handed to us there.
Yeah.
And that's just Joe Biden's
weakness. Will AFRICOM have to leave?
I mean, they already gave up a huge base to the Russians.
Yeah.
And we couldn't even evac our soldiers. Our soldiers were sitting there playing cards with the Russians. Luckily, the Russians decided they didn't want to, you know, start a World War III and shoot us all. But, like, you know, and then, of course, you've got the continuing... tensions of Ukraine, Russia. Russia's aligning more with Iran and North Korea. Putin, Xi, Kim Jong-un all getting together, little axis of evil action. And this is just what happens when the U.S. is weak.
Yeah.
And the rest of the world is currently preparing for a second Trump term. Mm. It's very obvious at this point. They all think he's coming back. You saw it at the G7. They were all extremely concerned. They passed this ridiculous permanent aid package to Ukraine using Russian funds from the oligarchs' frozen assets, which was really theft at the end of the day. And they all were like, oh, well, you know, if Trump comes back, this is done.
This is it.
Zelensky's over there begging like a little 2-cent whore on his knees. That guy, who apparently doesn't own a suit in his entire wardrobe, ridiculous. Keep getting told, Ukraine's winning. Well, no.
They're not.
they're not. They haven't taken any significant land back. In fact, Putin, just last week, said, hey, we'd be willing to have some peace talks, you know? And his starting items that he publicly laid out was exactly what I said would be the peace deal in the end. We get the Luhansk, the Donbass, you know, Donetsk, the Russian, essentially the Russian lands, air quote, and, you know, you get to keep the rest of it. And, you know, they're like, oh, that's a non-starter. Well, good luck taking that land back. You're never going to get it back. So, especially after Trump comes in and says,
there's going to be a deal.
Yeah.
And the deal is
what Putin said.
And then he's going to be like, looks.
I mean, but frankly,
Kremlin agent Trump.
You know, frankly, for the situation on the ground, it is a reasonable deal.
Yeah.
Maybe a little overzealous in his opening offer because he also wanted the lands around, like, basically up to the river.
Oh, okay.
Like Zaporizhzhia and all that. Yeah. But if you went to the table and actually negotiated, he'd probably say, okay, we'll just take the
Donbass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All they wanted at the end of the day, and the entire military mission here, of course they wanted all that land and whatever, but they just wanted a land bridge from mainland Russia to Crimea.
Yeah.
Crimea, don't forget, was taken under Obama. It's curious how Russia never took any land under President Trump, or no wars were started under President Trump. But yeah, foreign policy is going well. But I'll tell you, there's a major realignment occurring in Europe right now.
Yeah.
I mean, you've been following these elections.
Oh, yeah, man. The EU Parliament?
The G7 this weekend was like dead man walking.
It really was. Giorgia Meloni was the only one that has like solid political footing.
Right.
Everybody else is either about to lose their elections, like Trudeau, or had already gotten their asses kicked.
Yep.
So.
Well, Macron is going to be gone.
Yeah.
Who's the German bitch?
Oh.
It's not Merkel anymore.
No, it's not.
But it's a leftist.
Yeah.
Gone.
Yeah.
Basically, by the end of the next few months, you're going to have right-wing leaders in France, Germany, Italy. The only one that's up in the air, Sunak's going to be gone in the UK.
Yeah.
There's a very interesting dynamic right now.
Oh, that motherfucker left early during the D-Day celebration.
He fucked himself bad on that one.
He left early. And everybody from the Green Party over there to the Liberal Democrats were like, it was a disgraceful day. Yeah. Nigel Farage was like, this guy's unpatriotic.
Yeah.
I'm like, eh?
Well, Nigel Farage's been on fire, and he's skyrocketing in the polls. His Reform Party has now overtaken the Conservatives.
Yeah.
And so that's going to be very interesting. The only problem is that he and the Conservatives are splitting, which means that Labour might cross the threshold, because in the UK there's some weird fucking shit.
Well, yeah, unless they can get a coalition government going.
Right, but in a constituency, which is what they call their districts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you cross 34%, it's an auto win.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
So if Labour gets 34%, auto win.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, the election is, what, 2 weeks away or so, a little bit more.
And just speaking of elections, it's, what, 653 seats?
Yeah.
We'll know who's going to be in government that night.
Yeah. Yep.
Meanwhile, takes California
6 weeks.
6 weeks to count all the fucking votes.
Well, we've got, you know, I think there's going to be a deal struck
Between
reform and conservatives to try to figure out a way to head off labor.
Maybe liberal because Democrats neither, can get in there.
Neither of them want labor in charge. Yeah, I mean, labor's fucking nuts. Yeah, so, nuts.
Cameron had to deal with the liberal Democrats to get to the over 320.
But there's certainly, you know, besides the UK and their kind of splitting of the vote, there's certainly a major right-wing populist-ish realignment going on in Europe.
Yeah, over Brexit and immigration.
And, well, yeah, and so that's the segue I was about to say, is that back in 2016, Brexit was a key look-ahead sign for Trump's victory here in the United States. So that's going to be very interesting, and of course we will keep an eye on that and let you know what's going on. Let's talk about the amnesty that Joe Biden announced.
The child brides?
No.
Well, but so it deals with brides.
when this came out, the alert that he was about to announce an amnesty for hundreds of thousands of illegal immigrants, I was very concerned about how far it was going to go. And I won't say I'm happy, but he didn't really go as far as he could have, and I think that's because he knows that it's an electoral fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
Basically, what he's going to do is allow all the illegals who are marrying U.S. citizens to apply for a lawful permanent residence without having to leave the U.S.
Yeah.
So in the past, if you were an illegal and you went to marry a U.S. citizen, in order to have it go through, I guess you would say, you'd have to leave the country and then come back legally.
Yeah.
Which, okay, I mean, noble, right? But, you know, here he's just like, okay, you could all just stay and whatever. I was concerned that he was about to try to give citizenship to DACA and, you know, all these illegals, give them work papers and all that kind of shit. He didn't do that. And I think he knows he can't do that at this point. But the crime of illegal aliens continues to skyrocket. An illegal immigrant from Ecuador in New York City is in custody after raping a 13-year-old girl in broad daylight.
Yep.
This comes after, of course, he entered in 2021 under Joe Biden. This comes after the murder by an illegal immigrant down here in Maryland. I mean, the list goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
And the DACA program, by the way, that they are so proud of, they released a new analysis of how many criminals are in that. Hundreds of rapists.
Oh, my God.
Like 100-something murderers, all kinds of other criminals, robbery, assault. But the immigrants are the best, right? Yeah. That's what they say.
Yeah.
Don't they say immigrants are the lifeblood of America? I'm like, maybe 40 years ago.
Pramila Jayapal was like, we've gotten so much money from illegal immigration.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Well, not to mention, you know, it's costing us
billions,
a couple hundred billion a year.
Yeah.
And just yesterday, we reached the first step in my long pronounced death spiral of the debt, where the interest payments on the debt are now larger than the entire defense budget of the United States.
Great.
And next up, it will cross Social Security. And once it crosses Social Security, it'll be the biggest budget line item at well over $1.2 trillion a year in interest.
Jesus.
We've hit $35 trillion in debt. We're now projected by the CBO to hit $50 trillion in debt by 2034, so less than 10 years from now. If you look at the chart, I mean, it's basically a death spiral.
Yeah.
And that will be the undoing of the economy. I mean, at the end of the day, that is really our death knell. People talk about, oh, Social Security being solvent and this and that. None of that matters other than we have to get the deficit under control. We have to stop adding to the debt.
Yeah.
If you at least stop it here, you have a chance. But if we continue to add at the pace we are, you know, the deficit last month was $283 billion.
Oh, God.
That puts us on a pace for over a $3 trillion annual deficit. And that is just...
It's insustainable.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. If that pace kept up,
yeah.
Right? If you extrapolated that out over 10 years, that would take us from 35 now to 65. Which at that point, your debt payments are going to be $4 trillion, larger currently than almost the entire federal budget.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a really great footing we got ourselves on here. You all know that the economy is a fucking mess. I mean, I could go down the list data point after data point. Credit card debt just reached an all-time high. Savings reached another all-time low. We're looking at month after month after month of bad numbers. The jobs reports are cooked. The CPI reports are cooked. Inflation's out of control. I mean, you just look at it, and it's just a total mess.
Yeah, it's
a... So, all right, let's move on here. We got basically a couple of crazy stories here, right? Basically, so we all remember the tranny, right, the air quote trans woman who went topless at the Biden White House, right?
Turns out she's a child.
Flashing those fake tits.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you go ahead and...
Wait, sorry. I thought you were done.
No, you go ahead.
I thought you were done.
No, you go ahead.
She raped a bunch of kids.
I don't know about that.
But inappropriate touching.
Yeah, allegedly.
Allegedly.
Sexually assaulting at least 5 people. I don't think it was kids either, but... yeah. No also, surprise. Sick deviance. It's just... There's another video yesterday of, like, a Pride Month thing at the White House. It's just lunacy.
Yeah, it's what nuts, we have man. Going. It's crazy.
It's crazy to me that this is like. Although I will say that it's very interesting. I was saying this the other day.
Mm-hmm.
It seems that Pride Month's a little less pridey this year. You ever notice that? It's not as overtly over the top, like shoving it down your throat. You're gonna like this. yeah, euphemism there. It's very interesting. I think they're afraid of the blowback. In an election year.
Yeah.
That's why I think that's what it is. You know, it's still definitely.
Democrats are afraid the gays might go crazy.
I mean, yeah, it's still over the top, sure. Yeah. But it's not as over the top as it was last year. I find that trend very interesting. All right, what do we got up next here? The climate crazies today threw paint all over Stonehenge.
Yeah, people are going to jail for that, I think.
Well, here's the interesting part. So I was reading about this just before we recorded, right? A lot of times these crazy fucking nutjobs get off with no charges, right?
Yeah.
Well, the Brits are pretty serious about Stonehenge.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, those rocks, they carry a lot of power.
Yeah.
Well, they happen to throw paint on the rocks, which, of course, is a crime in itself for vandalism of, I think, a protected national monument or something like that. But the real kicker is that one of the next serious charge down... There's moss on these rocks.
Oh, no. Right?
That itself is protected.
Oh, God.
Because it protects the rocks.
Yeah.
And by destroying that moss with the paint, they technically are getting charged with environmental vandalism.
Oh, wow.
So it's the green laws that are going to take them down in the end. I thought that was particularly ironic.
That's pretty funny.
We had another... incident here with the FBI accosting law-abiding Americans. Yeah. Did you write about this?
Yeah.
Okay, why don't you tell us?
Yeah, okay. I'm so, you know, Texas Children's Hospital has been exposed for the genital mutilation surgeries, right?
Yep.
We had a surgeon that came forward, I think Ethan Hamm.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And now he's being attacked by the DOJ for supposedly violating federal privacy laws.
Mm-hmm.
So a nurse kind of noticed, you know, she was hired and, you know, she, you know, was very enthusiastic about the job. That all died in 2021 when she saw all this trans shit happening.
Uh-huh.
The uptick of, you know, people who want to get their dicks chopped off. And she felt that the surgeons, a part of this ward, were manipulating their patients into getting these surgeries. So she, you know, she started to help out. She spoke with Christopher Rufo, who wrote about it all in City Journal, you know, talked about how the hospital might be committing Medicaid fraud because these types of procedures and other aspects of so-called transgender healthcare are not covered by Texas Medicaid. You know, they recently banned the, you know, getting your dicks chopped off for minors.
Yeah.
The FBI came to her home and was like, "You're a central figure in the investigation into Mr. Haim, who got served a warrant with armed guards recently." And yeah, so basically you got people blowing the whistle on the child transgender mutilation surgeries. You got pro-lifers being targeted. You got people being visited by the FBI for anti-Biden memes.
Uh-huh.
It seems like the DOJ is just going after people who don't like the Biden agenda. So,
shocker.
There you go. Shocker, right? Yeah. Shocker. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Creepy. Absolutely creepy.
Yeah.
She did nothing wrong.
Well, you know.
Undeterred, though. She still peered into the receipts and everything.
Yeah.
Regarding patients. So.
Well, let's not forget that the Biden DOJ threw an old lady, a sick old lady, yeah. in jail for praying outside of an abortion clinic.
Yeah.
I
forgot about that. Yep. Yeah.
There, you know, of course, we've also been following the story of this special counsel audio interview with Biden, right?
Yeah.
And here's the thing.
Just.
We were told, oh, no, you're not going to get the audio because it's executive privilege, blah, blah, blah. Well, Congress then subpoenas it, and they again are told no. Attorney General Merrick Garland was then held in contempt of Congress. The same exact charge, which Steve Bannon is going to go to jail for.
Yeah.
Which and is fucking
Pete
ridiculous.
Pete Navarro's in jail.
Oh, he's in jail already.
He's in jail already. He gets out next month.
Then the DOJ says, oh, no, Attorney General Garland didn't commit a crime. I'm like, oh, that's ironic that they get to rule on that. You know, that's
the memo. Merrick Garland says Merrick Garland can't be prosecuted.
Yeah, that's essentially what it was. Then the interesting point came up of like, no one has actually seen or heard this audio.
Yeah.
And there's now some in Congress that are hypothesizing or speculating that it very well might have been totally destroyed.
Wow.
To hide it.
But we have the transcript.
Well, we have the transcript.
Somebody had to have heard it.
Sure. They heard it.
Yeah.
But there's no proof that it still is held. Shit. It was supposed to be held in a skiff.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, nobody knows if that's actually happening or not.
Oh, my God.
And there's some speculation that it was destroyed.
Funny how all this evidence gets destroyed.
Yeah, well,
this evidence gets destroyed. The supposed file that had all the dirty secrets about the DOJ which led to the raid of Mar-a-Lago, allegedly. Yeah, yeah. That file is gone.
Mm-hmm, of course.
Lost forever.
Well, you know, I seem to remember
that exposed Rush collusion hoax.
When some audio tapes got destroyed by a president.
Yeah.
That president got kicked out of office by the CIA.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so I think there's some very interesting questions there, but we'll never find out for sure. You know, even if Trump came into office, you know, we may find out that it was destroyed, but it's going to go down the same way that, like, what everything you just mentioned.
Yeah.
It'll just be another on the pile of total disgraces by the DOJ and FBI.
Why don't they? That's no good. I was saying, Biden's attorney was the one that opened this Pandora's box, because he was like, oh, what are you talking about? He's totally fine. It was the first, he's totally fine, and the interview went well to my recollection.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Release the tapes.
Yep. Last week was a interesting week for particularly rulings having to do with our great Second Amendment rights.
Yeah.
The Supreme Court ruled 6-3 on Friday that the bump stock ban was unconstitutional, which was excellent. Then, just hours after that, I believe, a federal appeals court ruled that the ATF ban on, or the ATF forced registration
and taxation on pistol braces.
On pistol braces was unconstitutional.
Yeah.
And
Merry Christmas.
It was Christmas on Friday afternoon for many who were able to dive to the bottom of the lake and unearth their boxes of bump stocks and pistol grips. I was very happy about that, you know. It was a great, great afternoon. And by the way, Firearms Policy Coalition, FPC, just doing a fantastic job out there fighting for the rights of all Americans having to do with the Second Amendment. You know, when the NRA went down in a ball of flames, the FPC really took on the mantle of fighting for our rights on the Second Amendment, and they're doing a fantastic job. I'm a huge fan of them, and I give them a recurring donation every month. So, you know, if you're able to do that and help fight for our rights, I highly recommend, you know, if you were an NRA member in the past and stopped being a member, you know, put that money towards a group that actually is fighting for our rights, because they're doing a fantastic job. All right, a few 2024 items here on the polling, right? Because, you know, the race has really kind of, I don't want to say stagnated, but I feel like it's solidified, right? Over the past few weeks, Trump has really cemented his lead in this race, and it's a very odd position for us to be in. I was just thinking about this last week, how basically every, you know, election, we always feel like we're fighting from behind, right? Yeah. You know, 2022, I think, was the outlier. That was a total fucking disaster. I'm going to just disregard that one.
Yeah.
But 2016, you know, and 2020 especially.
Yeah.
You know how many days during those elections Trump led the polling average? Zero. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know how many days Trump has led the polling average this time? I think it's like 90% of them.
Yeah.
So it's a very weird dynamic for us to be sitting here feeling very, you know, good about our lead in the race, while still having that uncertainty about, of course, they're going to fucking try to cheat it away.
Especially with, the Economist, which isn't a conservative publication, you know, their election projection has Trump winning, what, 65% of the time?
Yeah, yeah.
So
even Nate Silver's liberal-ass 538 has Trump projected to win the election.
Nate Silver is asking whether or not Biden should just quit right now.
Well, sure.
He tweeted that, pissed off a lot of people, but he's like, listen, his numbers are horrible. Horrible.
Well, there's
you should consider quitting.
There's a number of polls that came out this week that really have ratcheted up that rhetoric, right?
Yeah.
On top of the Biden looking worse than ever, he was a total mess at the G7.
Yeah.
You know, he can't complete a sentence, this and that. He's now requested a rules change for the debate next Thursday night to sit down, which Trump should not agree to.
No.
Or maybe Trump should stand and Biden can sit and then really show the difference there. But the Iowa poll that came out this week was a particular showstopper because Ann Seltzer is basically the A-plus pollster of Iowa, usually gets it head on, right?
Yeah.
In 2016 and 2020, she almost nailed the final percentages in Iowa by like within a percent.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Trump actually slightly, I think, outperformed her projection, which is even better for this this here. This poll has Trump 50, Biden 32, Kennedy 9. So Trump plus 18, right? Trump won Iowa by 8 in 2020, right?
If that's true, then he wins Michigan.
And Wisconsin.
I mean,
and potentially Minnesota. And I that's mean, why
winning,
people
winning 18 and not winning those states.
And that's why the libs, when this came out,
they
started flipping the fuck out. They were like, oh shit, we might really be in some deep shit. And then another poll came out on top that showed that Trump was breaking well north of 20, close to 25% support among blacks.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That would be a historic.
Yeah.
Historic total.
Yeah.
Okay. And so now that leads, you know, all that to build up to the question here. We went through months of, okay, is Biden actually going to be the guy? Are they going to replace him? This and that. That seemed to have went away. It came back with a vengeance about a month ago. Yeah. Now it seems to be reaching a fever pitch. And now I saw a new poll that came out. 37% of Democrats want him replaced. Yeah.
I mean, you're. I mean, it's one thing when it's just, you know, some registered voter polls. Now they're getting into the nitty gritty of core Democratic voter groups like blacks. I'm sure you saw the reason why it's you know, blacks under 50 hate Biden. In 2020, he had an 80-point advantage.
Yep.
Solid. It's now 37.
Yeah.
It went. It got more than halved.
Even Harry Chest poll guy on CNN, I can't remember.
Harry Enten,
ironic that's his name.
Yeah, yeah. He also
can't wear a fucking tie.
He also his hair flowing. He also said, "You see, he also said there's nothing that he can see that's going to reverse this trend."
Yeah, and he said it's mind blowing and he's speechless about these numbers. Yeah.
Now, what happens about RFK Jr., Mr. Brainworm, because he's on some ballots, right? I think he's on the ballot in Michigan. He actually pulls away from Biden.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, it just shows that black voters just don't like this guy. And you know, maybe those 37% who are like, you know, maybe we need to replace this guy. It's too late now. It's too late.
Well, no, I don't think it's too late.
It's Independence Day, man.
Let me talk.
I mean, we're close to
Let me talk about my theory here.
Oh, boy.
Here's what
the coup? The coup on the floor?
No, you know, I don't think it's going to be a coup on the floor. I think that we get to the debate next week, right? There's still some uncertainty whether it is in fact going to happen or not. I think it is going to happen. Yeah. I think Biden's so backed into the corner right now. Look at it this way. The betting markets on the presidential election historically have been pretty accurate, right? Betting over the last few years has really taken off. There's a lot of money in analytics into it. There's a lot of money on the floor here. There's been a couple billion, I think, so far gambled this year. And I think we're up to like now almost 50 to 60 million of it on the presidential election. And the odds today, this morning, almost went to a 20% edge to Trump, right? Which is almost unheard of, that kind of lead here. It's 52.5% Trump, 33% Biden. 33.3% Biden. Okay? And then the rest of it's like, you know, long shots. Because, of course, gamblers, we love long shots. So then you have, you know, Kennedy, Michelle Obama, Kamala Harris. The Kamala one's actually not a terrible bet because, you know, if Biden dies in the next few months, she's just going to have to step up. Because once you get past the point of the ticket being on, then she's locked in. Right? So she could theoretically run as the ticket. But I think you get to that debate next week, and if he's a total mess, right, which I don't want to set the bar low for, because I think that we conservatives, by doing that, automatically hand him somewhat of a win if he just shows up and doesn't
like fall over,
melt, right? Yeah. But if he's a mess, I think you're going to see over that July 4th holiday – those Dems are going to fucking get together in the back room and they are going to decide to kick him out. And they are going to go to him and say, Joe,
you're old. Get out.
You're old. You can bow out gracefully or we can take you out of the convention.
I
think that's what's going to happen. And I think when faced with that challenge from the party, right, from the moneymakers, and they would have to get Obama involved in that. Obama didn't want him in anyway, like you said, And Obama, I would think, would see getting Joe out as a potential chance to beat Trump, which is why I think he would back the idea. He has no loyalty to Biden.
No.
I think you would see that happen if it's a total disaster next week. Now, we should hope as much as possible against that, because our best chance to win this election is to keep that old decrepit fucker on the ticket.
Yeah.
So, but I do think that that's what's going to happen. I thought for a long time that there was not a possibility, not going to happen. But I do see the window here where if they're really desperate, and they are desperate now because these polls are really bad for him. You know, you look at the national polls and you're like, okay, well, Biden's only down 3 or whatever. But if you dig into all the swing states, he's behind in every swing state. And like you said, the key, he's losing major ground in every single core Democrat constituency. Young people, blacks, Hispanic, women, and college educated. All of them, he's losing massive
support. I saw a pollster was like, it's unthinkable that 12 years ago, young people had like this this dogmatic devotion to the Democratic Party, and now they're like, eh, fuck it.
Last but not least, you know, we've been talking about the Trump Veep Stakes. Continues to be a key pivot in this race, really. It sounds to me like Trump's not going to announce until maybe the first night of the convention. I'm sure it might leak out before then, but don't forget also he has his sentencing in the fucking sham trial case in New York on the 11th, right? I think that's the Friday before the convention. Some newcomers to the list have been added recently. Trump recently met with Glenn Youngkin here in Virginia at Trump's National Golf Club up here in Northern Virginia, and he said he's on the short list, which was previously unreported. Other names have been floated as potentially also in the short. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, you know I've been big on her since the beginning. I actually don't think it's going to be her. I think it's going to come down to Burgum and Youngkin. And I love Burgum, but I think as far as actually bringing something to the ticket, Youngkin is that guy. If Youngkin is if Trump really truly wants to make a play at Virginia, which he's been saying he wants to, right? That's the guy. He's the one who could deliver the state. Youngkin's popularity here in Virginia is 60%. As a Republican governor in a, air quote, Democrat, obviously he won, right? But really, it's a blue state.
It is.
And a Democrat state. And I think he could appeal to the so-called moderates. You know, I don't love appealing to them. But really, if you look at his record, it's rock solid.
It is.
And some people may say, oh, he's a little squishy on this or that. You know, one of the things was like his abortion position wasn't, you know, super right wing, you know, super, super pro-life radical, which for me, yeah, that's neither.
Yeah, it's in the legislature.
Well, sure. But I think his position's actually pretty close to what my position is. You know, you ban it at a reasonable number, 15 weeks, with exceptions of the life of the mother, incest, yeah, rape, all that shit.
But that makes you pro-abortion. So, you know, you can't.
Well, you know, I don't care. But, yeah. But that's Trump's position.
I mean, right? And
they're together.
It's also just reality. Like, we're not going to have a total ban. Like, we tried this.
Sure. Youngkin vetoed every single major gun control bill passed by the liberal legislature here. He fought hard to get a very serious budget passed that actually keeps Virginia not increasing taxes, which is what the Democrats wanted to do. Like, he is the model for a strong governor, a Republican governor in a blue state.
Gave rebates?
Well, that was last year. Yeah. He couldn't get that done this year because the Democrats won the election last year, remember? But but here's the thing. If Trump wants someone who could theoretically run for president right after him and win 8 more years after that, he's the guy. And he's been right in front of us the whole time, so it'll be very interesting to see. I think he's in high consideration. Burgum's at the top of that list, and I think J.D. Vance at the top of that list, and I think that's basically where the consideration ends. So we'll see. If you have thoughts on that, email us, triggered@townhall.com. We would love to hear from you. And of course, if you enjoy Triggered and want it uncensored, become a Town Hall VIP member at townhallvip.com. Use the promo code TRIGGERED for 50% off your membership. Get into this exclusive club of patriots. You'll not only be directly funding what we're doing here on Triggered and get access to Triggered Uncensored, which is ad-free. You know, I love to keep this show ad-free, but we got to pay the bills. So if you want it ad-free, you don't have to hear anything. Triggered Uncensored is for you. All of our VIP members didn't hear that ad today. But of course, Triggered is the promo code, townhallvip.com, 50% off. Thank you to all of you who are VIP members. Means the world to us. We love you. Thank you to all of you who listen. We love all of you. And of course, 5-star ratings and reviews go a long way to helping us beat the big tech algorithm. We will be back here next Wednesday for another episode of Triggered on June 26th. And of course, you know, I got a message on Twitter last night from one of our loyal listeners. When are you bringing the 2-time-a-week shows back? And I am hoping to bring those back for you right after Labor Day as the election's really ramping up. You know, it's very, very difficult with my schedule. I have a lot of responsibilities at the company. We do this essentially on the side. Here we are recording this after work hours today, but we love getting these episodes out to you guys. We love all of you. We do it for you guys. So if you could support us, townhallvip.com, use the promo code TRIGGERED, and email us, triggered@townhall.com. If you have any thoughts on anything we said, VP race, we love hearing from you. We'll be back here next week for another episode of TRIGGERED.
See you then. Oh, no. Turn.